Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And Meghna, we're going to play a sound, and then I'm going to ask you to identify it, if you can.
Okay.
Okay, ready? Here we go. So what do you think?
I hate to say this, but I'm old enough to, I think I actually know what that is. That sounds like a Polaroid.
Exactly right. It's a Polaroid one-step camera. This was this amazing invention. All you had to do was aim, push the button, and it instantly spat out a printed picture. And back in the 1940s, when it first hit stores, it was revolutionary, sort of like the iPhone or digital camera of its age.
Now, Edwin Land founded Polaroid in Cambridge. He was a lifelong inventor, a larger-than-life scientist who changed the way we think about photography. In his teens, he invented the anti-glare plastic polarizer, still used today, by the way, in sunglasses and LCD screens. And then later on, he developed X-ray film, 3D movies, and early versions of military night vision.
He also launched a seminal legal battle between Polaroid and Kodak. Ronald Feierstein is a patent lawyer who worked with Land, and he's the author of a new book, A Triumph of Genius, Edwin Land, Polaroid, and the Kodak Patent War. When we talked to him a little while ago about this book, he reminded us why that camera, why the Polaroid Land camera was so revolutionary in its time.
In that era, we're talking about the 40s here and before that, if one wanted to take a picture, you had to expose film in a camera. When you were done, you would take the film out of the camera, bring it probably to a drugstore where they would ship it off to a laboratory for development. And the development process itself was a multi-step process. First, you had to develop the negative and then expose the negative onto paper and then develop the print. It was really quite an extensive process. Well, what Land set out to do was to develop a technology that he named one-step photography, where you would snap the picture and have it come out of the camera within the next minute or so and hold it in your hands.
And it was thrilling and sort of perfectly designed for impatient Americans who want instant gratification, right?
Absolutely. That was one of his ambitions and one of his objectives. And that aspect of instant photography has never been replaced, really. Even with modern technology like digital photography and 1 hour processing, which of conventional film, which is one of the things that led to the demise of instant photography. Neither of those technologies gave you that print.
Ron, you have a wonderful description of the first time that Land demonstrates his camera at a trade show in New York. Tell us what happened there, because it was really almost like sort of carnival atmosphere. It sounded like.
Well, it was obviously a very exciting moment, and it was a room full of professional photographers who were covering this event and scientists, because it was at the Optical Society of America meeting. There are wonderful photographs, and some of them are in the book, that show Land making this the dramatic demonstration. They built a very special large format camera for the occasion. It wasn't the commercial model that was released a couple of years later. And they set up this camera, and Land took a picture and held it in his hand, and it just wowed everybody in the room. And then he took a self-portrait of himself and held it up. And there's a great photo in the book that shows him joking around with the other photographers. He's holding his photograph that he had just taken and developed in front of them. And he said, "Well, here's my work. Let me see yours." And they, of course, were all laughing because none of them could duplicate that feat.
Wow. He sounds the parallels with someone like Steve Jobs are hard to ignore. I mean, a visionary inventor, a great showman with these public unveilings of new products. And like Steve Jobs, Land believed in creating products that you didn't know you needed, you know, rather than getting too bogged down in market research.
First of all, Jobs admitted that he idolized Land, and Land was the model for much of his career. But just a few months ago, I was watching NBC Nightly News, and Tim Cook, who's the current CEO of Apple, said that Apple's whole role in life is to give you something you didn't know you wanted.
Right.
And I just, you know, my jaw hit the floor. That's a statement that Cook had inherited from Jobs, but the truth is that Jobs inherited that from Edwin Land.
Really interesting. So let me ask you about one of the big themes in your book. Of course, the subtitle is Edwin Land, Polaroid, and the Kodak Patent War. So Land and his Polaroid company depended upon the Kodak company, at least initially, to produce the film for his camera. But then Kodak develops its own version of Land's special film, and they basically become competitors, right? So tell us about this patent battle between these two tech giants of the last century, Polaroid and Eastman Kodak.
Yes, well, Kodak always considered Polaroid a niche company, you know, and a company that really did not jeopardize Kodak's predominance in the consumer photographic field until 1968, when Land brought to Kodak the prototype of what would become SX-70, this integral instant photograph that just emerged from the camera. For the first time after that meeting, Kodak started to believe that Polaroid's new technology might be a threat to its dominance in the field. They refused to help Polaroid with the commercialization of that product unless Polaroid would allow Kodak to sell the film in their own iconic yellow boxes.
I see.
This was something that Polaroid could not abide. I mean, they were scared to death. This was David and Goliath. Polaroid was a successful company by this point, but it didn't even come close to matching the size and the dominance of Kodak, particularly in the photographic world. So Kodak went off to develop its own instant system, and when their product came out, it used some patented aspects of the Polaroid technology, and a big litigation ensued. It was very much an existential kind of thing for Polaroid because it was the patents that were the only thing that could protect them.
Why was this particular patent war so important? I mean, in terms of lasting ramifications.
First of all, it was important to Polaroid because this was Polaroid's only field. And this is the point that Land made at the time when they announced the lawsuit, is that Kodak was a diversified company. They had chemicals, plastics operations, paper operations, processing operations. Polaroid had one thing. They had instant photography. And so it really was the only thing they had going, and they had to protect themselves when Kodak just marched into their field. The result of the lawsuit is historic for other reasons. Polaroid did prevail, and Kodak had to pay almost $1 billion in damages, which until a few weeks ago was the most damages ever paid in a patent lawsuit.
$1 billion, yeah. Wow.
Almost $1 billion. I think it ended up at $925 million. Mm-hmm. And then not only that, but Kodak was enjoined from further infringement of Polaroid's patents, which meant that Kodak had to take its cameras and films out of the stores.
Wow.
So this was a really impactful decision. And on a larger scale, it really was important in the whole patent world because it signaled a return to an environment in which patents protected a climate for innovation. You know, the result in Polaroid Kodak has really been seen as a turning point and returning patents to a position of importance.
Let me ask you about what happened to these companies. Polaroid and Kodak were big, powerful, important companies. Of course, as you've made clear, Kodak much, much bigger. But in their day, they were huge, major concerns, and yet neither of them are still around, or at least in their original form. So what happened? And let's talk about Polaroid. What happened to Polaroid?
Well, what happened to Polaroid is, first of all, that Land left the scene. Over the years, he diminished his involvement with the company. He came up with an instant movie system called Polavision, which was not successful. But once Land eventually left, there was no more visionary left at Polaroid to take it in a new direction. And at the same time, the technology, instant photography that it had developed and grown on, became obsolete. And it was sort of a two-phase kind of thing. The first one really was 1 hour photo processing. Once that happened, you know, people could take pictures with their fancy SLR cameras and get the images in an hour. And that hurt instant photography to some extent. And then, of course, digital photography was the final nail in the coffin.
Hmm. So what lessons does the Polaroid story, both its growth and its demise and the patent fight, hold for innovative businesses today, do you think?
I think, you know, the patent aspect of it is very important, and I really try to trace Land's involvement with patents throughout his life and his career, because in the beginning of his career, they were important to him because they allowed him to prevail in this polarizer technology that he started with. And in the middle of his career in the 50s, Land was the most vocal supporter of the patent system when it came under criticism from the academia at that point. He became known as the champion of patents, in fact. And then later in his career, the victory in this lawsuit, and he was the starring witness in this lawsuit, you can't forget that, was the final proof of the value of patents. Now, yes, the company did disappear in the years thereafter, but that was more about the technology than the value of the patents. So I think he always believed, and I think it's still true today, that innovative companies, especially small ones that are competing against larger entities, really need to be able to rely on our patent system for protection.
It's such a fascinating story. I just want to ask you one more question about it. I mean, it's just, I remember Polaroid as a kid, having a presence in Cambridge. You write that at its height, it employed something like 1,300 people. I'm just curious if you see companies out there today that remind you of Polaroid, innovative, successful, but, you know, at risk of going the way of the dinosaurs.
You know, going back to the comparison with Steve Jobs, people have asked me, well, what do you think about Apple now that Steve Jobs is gone? And I can't say that I really see Apple going the same way as Polaroid for one basic reason, and that is Apple's technology, which is the personal computer or personal computing generally, is still vibrant and developing and existing, and the challenge to the company is finding new applications for it. Whereas in the Polaroid story, its basic technology became obsolete, and that was a challenge they could not overcome.
That's Ron Feirstein. He's a patent lawyer who helped represent Polaroid in its patent battle with Eastman Kodak. His new book is called A Triumph of Genius, Edwin Land, Polaroid and the Kodak Patent War. Ron Feirstein, thank you so much.
Thank you, Anthony, for having me.
And Ron Feirstein's book is out today. He'll be talking about it later this month at MIT, at the MIT Museum. You can find more information at radioboston.org.